Come unto me, all ye who labor or are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Jesus promised that he would take care of us. Peter writes that we're to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And so that song certainly fits the theme of the Christian's life in many, many ways. This evening, if you would please, turn to the book of Psalm 34 with me. Psalm 34. You know, the happiness of those who trust the Lord is really great. And it should be, and I hope and pray tonight we'll understand more about the reasons why we should be happy. We should be happy in times of adversity. We should be happy in times of great trial. We should be happy when there are great, wonderful things going on in our life. We should not be like the world that is up and down and up and down depending on circumstance. Our up is always up. Our up is in Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of God. It doesn't get better than that. And all the promises, all the great and precious promises, all the blessings that we have coming our way are coming from up. And so there's just no way to go down. We're on an upward hill climb. And so let's think about that now as we go through this. And Psalm verse 34 and verse 1, David writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There is no want to those who fear him, and the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. You know, these are words, the opening of this psalm, the Psalm of David. And it's such a powerful song. It's in a time in which, you know, he is in front of Abimelech, and he had been chased, and he's probably weary and tired, and yet he says those wonderful words and penned them down for us for eternity. Something to learn from and something to live by. And when we understand the context, the words and why they were spoken and how the effect that they had, the historical context, it is just amazing that David was able to say these things. But again, David was a man after God's own heart, and David was always keeping his eyes up above. He was literally like that psalmist. He's not standing in the way of sinners, walking in the paths of the unrighteous, sitting with ungodly. He is meditating on God, on God's word, day and night. And so we want to learn tonight. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Clearly the words of this verse should draw the most attention at all times. Continually, he says. At all times. David was resolved in his heart. Not only on the good days, but on the bad days. Not only in prosperity, but in want. I will bless the Lord at all times. If any Christian today wants to be able to live and understand those words, we need to bless the Lord our God at all times. We need to realize who He is. Our God, the Creator of all things, came down to earth in the form of man, and He walked among us. He preached the coming of the kingdom. He established the kingdom with His own blood, and He arose up into heaven with great promise. At all times, He is with us. He never will leave us. He will never forsake us. And we just don't have any reason not to praise God at all times and not to be thankful for the very life that we have for all time. And so I want to focus your attention on some of these periods of life and times in which we should praise God. One should praise God, of course, in prosperity. Turn over with me to the book of Psalm 150. Psalm 150. It's a very short psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent goodness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And he ends with the words, praise the Lord. You know, Moses warned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Moses warned Israel of not falling under the silver spoon syndrome. The silver spoon prosperity. They had everything. And they not only had everything, but they had first-hand knowledge, first-hand experience with all these wonderful things that God did. Everything from freeing them from Egypt's slavery to crossing the Red Sea to being protected day and night, the destruction of Pharaoh's armies. They had everything. But they turned their backs on God. They had the silver spoon and they spit it out. We are God's children. All of you who have been baptized into Christ are God's child. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, He gave us something wonderful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to and an eternal inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that it does not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. How can we not be joyous every day of our life? The promise that God gave us through Jesus Christ is His blood washed us, God accepted us, we became the children of God, and now we have an eternal inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. And so, if you keep your eyes focused on heaven, the things of the earth are small. And so, even in good times, we need to focus on heaven. We need to realize who we are. And we are also not just God's children, but we belong to Christ. Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us. We've all heard, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, that's where He is now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. We have every reason in the world to praise continually. We have every reason to be happy in Christ. We have every reason to believe that God will take care of us. We have zero reasons to look down at the ground and mope and cry and complain about anything. Wherever two or more are gathered, so also shall I be. How much better can it be than that? And the question is, are we praising God the way that we should? Are we happy in Christ the way that we should be? Or are we looking at self? The last two lessons on pride. Are we being too busy? Are we being too prosperous? Are we consumed by our thoughts and our worries about something that's going on in this world? The daily affairs. Are we caught up in all that so much that we can't praise Him and we can't be thankful for all the blessings that we have in Christ? I say no. We're not. We could slip here and there, but ultimately, we should not mope. We should not act as though we're a lost people. We are a saved people. Remember that. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we have every reason to be thankful and every reason to praise and every reason to have the happiness because we trust in God. Do we, capital L-E-T, let the cares of this world systematically root out our ability to be happy? I hope not. The song that we sang, God Will Take Care of You, when I was growing up, to my remembrance, I never remember a day when I didn't have food on the table. When my family couldn't feed me. There are people who had to experience that. Not me. I wasn't even a Christian. But I don't remember anything like that. When I grew up, I had shoes to wear. I had clothing. In the cold weather, I had a coat. In the winter, I had a warm house. When Sharon and I got married, we were always able to feed our children, clothe our children, provide medical attention for our children, the things that they needed. And it was hard sometimes, no question, but that was my fault. And even though it was my fault, God still took care. Nowadays, we drive to worship in the summertime in an air-conditioned car. We sit in an air-conditioned building, and in the winter, we have the heat. We have it all. We have a silver spoon. We need to be sure that we're not spitting that out in the face of God. We go home to air-conditioned homes with food in the fridge, food in the pantry. God has richly blessed us. And as His people, as His children, as the inheritance of the kingdom in heaven, we need to recognize that fact. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. Jesus said the sun rises and the sun goes down. It rises on the good and goes down. It's both on the evil and the good. The rain comes down both on the good and on the wicked. God's blessings aren't limited to you and me. And so God did take care of us when we weren't looking. Secondly, one should praise God in poverty. Nobody wants to be in poverty. But the question is how many of us would be able to praise God if we were in poverty? When I was raised up, I was raised in the family business, and Dad was the head, the king, the lord, the master. He ran that business. And you know, for probably 20 years, I swept floors in the business. And for 20 years, I'm like, Dad, when am I going to get to do something else? He says, you got to crawl before you walk. I heard that for 20 years. I ended up leaving the business. And the reason I did is because I couldn't pay any of my bills. He controlled the money. He wouldn't give me money to pay my house payment until I was 3 months behind. Our electric gets shut off and he'd give me money to get it turned back on. He was in control. That's not God. I understand in some degree poverty, but no matter what the condition is God. And he will take care of you. Whatever the condition is, we need to learn to depend and trust upon God rather than in the condition. And I think that it's true that the less you have, the more genuine you yearn for more. That's true physically and that's true spiritually. And it's truly refreshing, in my humble opinion, to see those who have so little materialistically and have great faith. I think that's amazing. And so Paul was impressed with those in Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, you read through that. And these are the ones who they wanted to give a gift to help the needy saints. And Scripture tells us they gave of themselves first and then. Isn't that a great thing? They gave themselves to the Lord first and then to the needy saints. They had the right order. It was God first, everything else second. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 9 indicates that the poor are tempted to steal. We read that this morning. You know, when you don't have, you want to steal. And when you have too much, you're proud. And so Solomon's letting us know, we just keep our eyes focused on God. The rich fall into temptation, the scripture says, and into a snare, and into many foolish and harmful things that which drown men to destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. And so David, you know, he was resolved in the days of his poverty, in the days of his temptations and trials. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise God in adversity. Both the rich and the poor have adversity in life. Life itself is ups and downs. There's no question. You could be rich one day, poor the next. You can have food one day and have very little food the next. And so that's just how things work. Sometimes men are tempted, women, men, people, when they face hardships and trials and troubles, and they become bitter over something. And they hold on to that bitterness. They hold on to the resentfulness. And we hold on to anger. And sometimes that anger is with people, and oftentimes it's with God. But we need to remember, God will take care of you. The burden, sometimes maybe they feel too heavy to bear, but you can come unto Jesus. Let him carry the load. David was resolved to praise God even in the face of adversity. You think of the things that David went through. You know, David was the king of the land. And then Saul, he's chasing David all over the place. His own son was chasing him, trying to kill him. Saul's court slandered David. He was forced to flee and run from countryside to countryside, city to city, and hide everywhere that he went because everybody's looking for David. Saul wants to kill him. And he still writes those words, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. We need to praise God in adversity. And we need to praise God even in sickness. Sickness will come to everyone. Old age comes. We all realize there's a span of life where you're born and eventually you die. And one can learn to praise God in sickness just as he praises God in health. Because nothing's changed. We're on a course, and pray God we're on that course that leads to heaven. And the end of that course in this life is nothing more than a door leading into eternity with him. So that's not a horrible thing. Paul was given that thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. You read verses 1 through 8. 2 Corinthians 12. He had that thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times that God would remove it. And in verse 9, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul understood that. Paul understood that God's grace was sufficient. And he understood that when he was weak, then he was strong. Because when he was weak, God could take control. When we're filled with pride and when we think we got it all, God can't take control. And I want you to think on just a real fast rabbit. I don't have a lot of time, but Jesus prayed in the garden 3 times. Think about it. You think you can come up with something different between Jesus' praying and Paul's? Because God didn't answer Jesus. Read it. Jesus prayed like drops of blood, and God didn't answer him until it was all said and done, and then he sent angels to minister to him. Paul prayed to God 3 times, and God talked to him. He told him through the Spirit, my grace is sufficient. You're going to be okay, Paul. Why? Because he wasn't Jesus. Jesus knew a whole lot more about the Father. He knew a whole lot more about his future. He knew where he was going to go, and he knew where he was going to end up. We didn't. Paul needed those words from God. Paul needed God to take care of him at that point in time, and God did. And he said, therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, and the power of Christ rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in needs and in wants and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul knew. Paul's love for God was like a marriage. I think it should, that all of our love for God should be like a marriage. To love till death do us part. And actually, it really is till love, till death brings us together, spiritually speaking. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we'll bring this lesson to an end. Ephesians, chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, we read those words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are you identifying with that verse? Verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Are you identifying with that? He predestined us to adoption as sons. Do you identify with that?
In him we have redemption, verse 5, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you identify with that? If I stopped right now, right here, and you've said yes to every one of these, then you have no reason to gripe. You have no reason to complain. You have no reason to be down in life, because you have every reason in the world to be excited. You have every reason in the world to be happy. You have every reason in the world to trust in God for everything. You have no reason to go up and down. You have all the reason in the world just to go up if you said yes. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Verse 9. In him we have obtained, verse 11, an inheritance, being predestined according to his purpose. Verse 13, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. You just go on and on and on. We just need to glory in God. Glory in the fact that he's in control. Glory in the fact that he loves us so much. He gave us the Word of God. And he showed us his glory and his Godhead by everything that's made around us, so that we're without excuse. The next time you feel like saying, I'm having a bad day, look up and trust the words that you know. Trust that when you look up, in a spiritual sense, Jesus is sitting on his throne there. And he's the one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Look up. There he is. He's Jesus Christ in heaven above, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Prepared a place for you. So that as believers, obedient children of God, when the time comes we leave this world, that we will go into a place waiting for him to come and take us right up to that home in heaven. Be happy. Be happy. No reason not to. Now there is, of course, a reason not to, and that's if you're not on the road to happiness. If you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, yeah, there's a reason why you can't be that happy. There's a reason why you're going to have these really bad days and really good days and ups and downs. And there's only one cure, and that is to accept Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe. Be baptized. Because he said so. Not because this church says so. Not because David said so. But because he said so. He's the one who said, come unto me, all you that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. If you don't have that, you're going to have lots of up and downs. You're going to have doubts. You're going to be confused sometimes. You're going to be, you know, coming up with excuses and reasons why not. And all that does is rain on your parade. If you're a Christian in Christ, you have every reason to rejoice. If you're not, you have every reason to change. And zero reasons not to. And the same is true about the Christian. You have every reason to rejoice, zero reasons not to. If you need the help of the church today, we're here. If you need to be baptized today, we're here to help you and assist you in any way, shape, or form as we stand and as we sing song number 291.